One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
All right, I'm ready now.
Okay, let's go for it.
All right. Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Midwest Married.
Yay! Thanks for being here.
Yeah. And we are still in California, and I feel like I let the people down. I tried my hardest to get the trifecta together, but Father Knows was more interested in babysitting the grandchildren.
Yes. And he's having a good time.
He wanted to do that. So we're going to give him some grace tonight and
there we
let
go.
Him.
Yeah.
But we got to go on Father Knows last night. So we still were able to get together, and that was a lot of fun.
And that drops
tonight.
Tonight?
December 3rd, somewhere
Excellent.
In there.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I am super pumped about this episode because we are, of course, here in California on a family vacation visiting Ooh. Morgan and Justin and Jerry. And it's really been a great trip, I would say.
It's been really fun.
Yeah. A little bit of a change. This is the very first like holiday that we all haven't spent at home in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So a little different going to like nice weather, and I'm all here for it.
I'm exhausted.
Traveling is hard. Yes. I mean, that time difference, it's only 2 hours, but for some reason it feels harder than going to Europe or somewhere further. Like, it's a hard adjustment for me when I come home. Yeah. A lot of naps are needed. And you guys, you haven't been getting naps. You've been running
Zero.
Yourselves ragged.
Zero
We've been
naps.
Doing all the things.
I needed a nap today. I had to tap out on the beach. I was dying.
Yeah. Happens.
I'm a napper. I love my naps.
Yeah, they're good. Refreshing.
Very.
Revitalizing.
We always forget to do this. I'm Amy, everybody.
And I'm Matt, if you haven't listened to us before.
And I'm Morgan. Hi.
Yay.
I was going to do it.
Okay.
And this episode, we each contributed different stories. We each picked out things that we thought were relatable.
Mm. Yes. It's
and
so relatable.
Some of these stories are going to be listener write-ins. So if you've written in, here we go. We're going to start off with the first one. This looks like one that Amy picked. We have, am I the asshole for not wanting to spend the entire vacation sun up to sundown with my husband's family?
Ouch.
I bring it up because I think we did this very well. And
we'll see what the story says, Amy.
I think there's ways that maybe we could have not done it quite so well. So, all right, continue.
All right, here we go. My husband and I were planning a vacation for us and our two kids. We'll be gone for 8 days in the summer. We've saved up for this trip for years, and we're super excited. This place is about 3 hours away from my husband's family. They invited us to spend some days with them. However, from the start, I said I wanted some alone time with just the four of us. With the kids getting older, we don't get a lot of time with them. We don't have the money to travel often, so I suggested 3 to 4 days with his family, then we'd go to the actual vacation spot. I also set the boundary, we'd stay in a hotel. They all seemed to agree. Then, out of nowhere, my husband's family decided to go to our vacation spot for the full 8 days.
Nope.
That's when the hints began that we all get a house to rent. I said no. I love my husband's family, but it'd just be too much, and I wanted time just us. We don't need to be around each other 24/7. After that, my sister-in-law started making plans for all 8 days that included us.
That would be so exhausting.
Oh my God.
I put my foot down to my husband and I said no. We could spend 4 days with his family, maybe five, but I wanted just a few for just us. We never get to go on vacation and his family visits once or twice a year, so it's not like we don't see them ever. My husband says I've hurt his family's feelings. When I spoke to my sister-in-law, she said I should understand why it hurts. I won't spend the entire time with them. I asked how they'd feel if they'd planned a trip and we tried to change the plan. She said, family does this stuff for each other. Now I'm already dreading the trip and wondering if I'm being overdramatic and should just give in to avoid the drama. So, am I the asshole?
No. No.
No.
No, not being an asshole enough. I would cancel the trip. I would pick somewhere else that's not so accessible for these people. I would be losing my mind, especially because I have a partner who's unwilling to set boundaries with his family. Unacceptable. You're making her be the bad guy when she was clear from the start. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm happy to spend time with your family. 4 days.
That's half the trip.
That's half the trip. That's a lot of time. And then to just be like, I just want time with our nuclear family, with our kids, bonding, quality time. And then to be railroaded or steamrolled or whatever the saying is, to where it's like, oh no, it's actually the whole 8 days. We're going to go where you are and we're going to share this whole house. No, we're not. I am not doing that. This trip is not happening. No, I would cancel.
And it sounds like she had already put a lot of effort into planning things for the days and like things that they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like his family's coming in and just like reorganizing things and being like, oh, we're going to, you know, do this day, and so on. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I agree. Not the asshole. And especially on a trip where you are going with your entire family and you're visiting people and you're not in your comfort zone of your own like home situation, that can be really exhausting because especially for the kids, they're out of their routine. That's going to be extra work. Matt, you said it one or two times, you're like, okay, this is a trip. It's not a vacation for me. We're not leaving feeling well rested. We're leaving feeling fulfilled, feeling like, you know, we got to do all of the things that we wanted to do in adventure and all of that. But it's a trip.
Yeah.
So if you are spending the entire time kind of catering to other, like your in-laws' feelings and plans and they're not respecting anything that you want to do, I think that would just make it 10 times harder.
Yeah, you'd be exhausted. And I do, there is a difference between a vacation where you're going somewhere and you're sitting on a beach drinking Mai Tais and pina coladas versus a trip, your activities, Disneyland, SeaWorld, driving, beach, farmer's market. Like that is a trip, like truly. And yeah. I didn't really get that until Matt said it, vacation versus trip. And when you take trips, you need a vacation after your trip to recover from the trip. Like, I just, yeah. So this, like, I'm hearing this and I'm stressed, especially when you have someone that says, we have limited resources.
Yeah.
We can't take trips like this all the time. So right. To then be steamrolled, it's so disrespectful.
I think it really comes down to the husband here, where he needs to step in and say, this is a trip for the family, my family, and to spend time with our children as they're getting older and we're not able to do this as much. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like the husband has really expressed, oh, it's super important, you know, that my family really wants to also be included. I still think that's your unit. And if your wife is saying, hey, I want this time just us to connect and have these memories of just the four of us, then he needs to respect that as well and set the boundary with sister-in-law, mother-in-law, you know,
everyone
that is going, right? The whole family. I don't know what the dynamics are there, but set the boundary.
Don't you feel like he's maybe in the background though, being like, ah, she'll come around. It's fine. Like,
people-pleasing his family, maybe.
I'm so curious how this is going because like, I mean, you guys were very clear on like things you wanted to do while you were here. Like, I didn't want to go to SeaWorld. That wasn't a part of something I wanted to do. But you were like, no, we, you know, we saw Blackfish. We feel bad, but, you know, Not so you crime. Guys wanted, you guys did this, you did the SeaWorld. And I think that's great. I love when you have trips and people can pick what they want to do and split off. And then you guys got quality time with just your kids and stuff like that. So I'm so frustrated by this one. And it that makes me think then that he's kind of encouraging his family behind the scenes and being like, eh, she'll come around, guys. It's cool.
Isn't it weird that he doesn't want time with just his family?
Maybe he very extroverted and gets along and thrives in that environment with his family and thinks that having more people around makes it better. It's funner.
Crazy.
There's a couple of edits. So edit one, it's already been asked, but they chose this spot because it's somewhere their kids have always wanted to go. Of course, we can't give them everything they want in life, but now we can finally afford this. As I said, we never get to go on vacation, and I wanted to give this to them. Edit two. No, they can't cancel, change dates, as it's a non-refundable deposit. It's already been placed. Edit three.
Enjoy your trip, guys. We're going somewhere else now.
I understand that this is Reddit, and people expect the craziest things to happen. I understand the concern that my husband would give them the address to the Airbnb, and they just show up to intrude on our off days. However, knowing them, they aren't the type to do this. They'll respect the actual boundary, but then you'll hear about it for the next 5 to 10 years. I'm positive they won't intrude on our off days. I'm sure people will call me naive, but my husband and I have been married for 20 years. I know his family. This is just how they are.
Hearing them talk for the next 5 to 10 years, that is where I get you've been married for 20 years. But you really gotta say, babe, talk to your family. Or if you hear it, you walk out of the room. Like, you set that boundary for yourself where you're like, hey, you guys, like, we need a time as our family unit. I, you know, understand you wanted to join, but this is what we needed. I don't appreciate hearing about it. Anytime you talk about it, I'm going to walk out of the room. I'm going to remove myself.
Yeah.
And you hold to that. You don't put up with that emotional manipulation and the guilt trip.
Yeah.
No.
I would also point out that you think that it's a really positive thing because they're, for some reason, they're spinning it in a negative light where it's not a negative thing.
No.
So pointing out that, hey, this is a really positive thing that helps with the bonding of just us. It's a really great opportunity that we're being able to do this. I think that that would be helpful too.
I think so.
Okay. So one of the reasons why I picked this story was because I had then tips for everybody who's traveling to go see family, because I think we did this really well. So we scheduled extra days here and there to be together and then to not be together so that everybody had a little bit of time and space. For example, Thanksgiving, we all got together, did like the typical Thanksgiving meal and all togetherness where we were all together then. And then the following day, we went to Disneyland where everybody got to go and experience the magic of Disney, right? And then after Disney, Matt and I took the kids to SeaWorld, just the four of us. In hindsight, I probably would have put a day in between those because Matt and I were exhausted.
Wiped, dude.
The kids were fine. They were bouncing off the walls and had so much energy. They were probably had more sugar in those 2 days combined than
their whole lives.
Than their whole lives, right? But they, but it was nice to have just that piece of time. And then because you and Justin have a house and Jerry has a house, then we all kind of like spent different pockets of time with like different pieces of the family.
Yeah.
And then other times we would all get together. So having a little bit of that separation, that rest time, that activity time, like just making it a mix, I thought made this trip extra special and really cool.
Yeah.
So there's there's my tips for a successful trip.
And I think putting whatever is like the most important, most like strenuous activity towards the front of the trip is best too. Because by the end of a vacation, a trip, you're running on fumes, you're tired.
Everybody's tired.
Yeah. So it's
the host, the guests, everybody.
Everyone. So to do like Disney at the front end where you have the energy still, I think that's key too.
Good to stack it.
Yeah.
Any tips from you? Hindsight's 2020. What else you got?
So I went to Disney a little unprepared.
Really?
I lost the cell phone charger that I had, and I thought we could find a cord there, and I couldn't. And I was just like, meh, I don't need a cell phone. And I got separated from the group for a while, and I realized how horrible human beings are.
People were extremely rude to Matt. Tell him what some lady said to you.
So what happened was I got separated from the group with Emmett in my arms. He had fallen asleep. It was
and he's like 60 pounds. I tried holding him for a little bit. My arms went down.
8:30.
Maybe 45 pounds.
And I went to the Disney workers. They're not allowed to have cell phones apparently, but I asked four of them. And then I asked some random people that, we don't have a cell phone, which I don't believe because everyone has cell phones.
Also, this is Disneyland, not some stranger on like Santa Monica Boulevard.
And I'm
like,
carrying Emmett for dang near 45 minutes. And I walked into a restaurant and there was two ladies that had their cell phones in their hands. And I'm like, ladies, would it be possible, any chance you could make a phone call for me or send a text message? And this lady looked at me and she's like, for you? No. And walked away.
A dad carrying his kid.
And I was like, at that point, I was over it. I was over Disneyland. Yeah.
That was a long day.
People. Yeah. But yeah, that was a long day. So, and I do agree. I think that having SeaWorld worked out perfect because initially I did invite my mom and brother to come and they bowed out. And I was like, thank God. It was good.
No, I think everyone on a trip, like you need that time with like your little unit, especially when your kids are so young and you're building like these key memories. Mm-hmm. Like it's nice to be like, yeah, we went to SeaWorld and like we did that. And it's also so much easier managing a group of four people versus a group of nine.
Yes.
Like that in itself, it's hard doing things in big groups and appeasing each person. And
everybody's hungry at a different time. Everybody has to pee at a different time.
It's a lot. So
it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's just, it's expecting the unexpected. And one thing I will say is like a lot of people in my life have a difficult time like with fluidity. Not anyone on the Disney trip, luckily, which was really nice, but I just have other people that like can't adapt to plans changing and being fluid and, hey, you know, you got to roll with the punches and, oh, someone's late or, you know, someone's hungry or someone's not feeling well. Like
that flexibility.
You got to be flexible, especially on trips and especially with big groups of people. And just realize like no one's trying to sabotage you except that lady at Disney. She was an asshole.
Yeah.
But like your family, your friends aren't trying to sabotage you. Just roll with the punches. Be positive, you know. Ugh. But this lady, lay the hammer down.
Yes.
They're not coming.
All the people agree. There's no.
What's the top comment?
Not the asshole. My in-laws did this and it ruined the entire vacation. If I were you, I'd book a hotel and let them know the accommodation has already been made.
Yeah, non-refundable. Sorry, you're not included.
So, not the asshole, not the asshole, not the asshole. Your sister-in-law can go pound sand.
Oh, I like that one. Kick rocks.
Boom. All right.
Nice.
On to a listener write-in.
Let's go. Woo. Hi, friend.
Please read together while you're on your trip. With two hot takes and FKS. Father Knows isn't here, but it's true.
We got Morgan. It's good. I got you.
Hi, fam. Longtime listener for all three podcasts. I have a wild story for you to help me out with. Do I DTD?
Dump the dude.
Oh, see.
Or dump the dame. Good.
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
You're so good.
So my boyfriend and I, both 25, just celebrated 5 years together. We recently bought a home together about a year and a half ago. We have had some bumpy roads, mainly him trying to understand how to be a more supportive partner around the house and finances, and me learning some patience. About a month ago, I started to use my boyfriend's tablet to start planning my friend's batch trip for next year and realized my Google account was saved in the tablet. So I was trying to remove my account so that it was just my boyfriend's on there. When in the settings, I was randomly in the past history tab and noticed some inappropriate sites. I initially thought nothing of it. My boyfriend does streaming for his football games and sometimes ad pops up. But my nosy self decided to scroll for the past week and saw much more of the content. I then chalked it up to it must be a past user's account still attached to this, as he just bought this tablet off of a family member. However, checking the dates and times, it just didn't make sense how much this family member would have been on this particular site. I sent a photo to my boyfriend asking, "What's this?" He was working, so I didn't get a response until his next break. And during that time, the links of the past history were filled with porn to at least August, because that's as far back as I could see. I looked up the dates, like my birthday, anniversary, and even holidays, and I'm telling you, the shit was on all of those days. The times the sites were opened was during the day and maybe late at night. It was more disturbing as the time passed because I work from home 3 days a week, meaning the sites were open while I was in the next room. My boyfriend finally looked at the text and replied, "I'm on my way home." Since he doesn't get off work till 5, my heart sank. It was a lot of crying and anger and disgust to then hear that he does this all the time and he has no idea why. He explained that he has a pornography addiction and that's why he does it. To me, it's not so much about the porn. Our usual fights are about how he doesn't find time to help around the house. So to me, the hour or two spent doing these things, he could have actually been cleaning or cooking. He told me that it's been going on for the past year or two, and he's been ashamed to tell me for at least the last 2 years. I have pleaded for him to step up and help, and for him to tell me that he didn't have time to help, he just chose to do something selfish and disgusting. Well, it's been about a month since this happened. I'd love to send a follow-up of the path I chose, but wanted to hear from your family and ask if I should leave my boyfriend at that moment in time.
I mean, it sounds like your mind is very made up. It feels like it's made up to me, to be honest. I think the connotations behind everything, it's disgusting. He could have been helping around the house versus doing something selfish. It sounds like there's some big feelings there. Resentment, anger, disgust, distrust. I mean, everything. So I think unless you can get past those feelings, you don't really have a relationship to move forward with, because you can't hold on to that and go forward having a healthy relationship. So it sounds like you're pretty made up. And is it complicated because you own a house together and you've really intertwined your lives? Yeah. But it seems like you're very misaligned on what you find acceptable and not, communication styles. And I don't know, like, you could work on it. I have a very different opinion on porn. Granted, every day, 365 days a year, yeah, that's a problem. Here and there, I'm like, you know, whatever. But you find it disgusting. You have an issue with it, and that's what matters. But what are you getting from this one?
The one piece of, like, well, maybe there's something to salvage here. The one piece is he identifies that it's a problem. He came home. He didn't brush it off and be like, "It's just porn. It's fine. It doesn't mean anything.
Very true.
Everybody does it." He didn't gaslight her. He's not like, "You're ridiculous. You're the problem for having these opinions that are not, you know, up with the times or whatever regarding it." Because yeah, I feel like those are all very common things that could be said.
Absolutely.
Right? From people who maybe indulge in porn to someone who doesn't. Like, I think that there could be a very wide gap of misunderstanding there, right? I'm kind of with you as far as, like,
it's a personal choice if that's your thing. But an addiction, like if it goes
into... That's another level.
Yeah, if it goes into the place where you are not fulfilling your end of the bargain in your relationships and your relationship is suffering because of all the time that you're spending doing this other thing, no matter what it is, it could be reading, right? We just did a reading book talk episode.
I mean, yeah. insert hobby.
Anything that utilizes that amount of time where you're not able to be a good partner, then that's a problem. So if he identifies that it's a problem, this is something that he wants to work on also, I think that the only way really to go through with that, if this is a true addiction, is for him to go and seek some guidance and counseling and probably doing some couples counseling together if you're wanting to really work on it.
Absolutely.
But there were a lot of keywords in there where this probably isn't the only problem.
I think it's the straw that's breaking the camel's back. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Male perspective.
Yeah, what's your thoughts down there?
Well, you're already calling it an addiction, so you know you have a problem. He's openly admitting it, which if he's able to do that, then I feel like he's willing to work on it.
I'm curious though, like what would Google define as a porn addiction? Like, or what are the boundaries or like levels there? Because it's like for him to have been doing this for a year or 2 years or whatever he said, and for her to not notice, I'm surprised it wasn't more impactful in their, you know, their day-to-day life or their sex life, their intimacy, because I know, you know, when people do have a porn addiction, their actual sex life can kind of suffer.
Two things. Google defines porn addiction as a compulsive desire to view pornography that interferes with daily life.
Okay.
There are symptoms, consequences, brain changes.
Oh.
Symptoms would be feel a lack of control over their pornography viewing, spend an increasingly amount of times using pornography, progress to more extreme material. Mm-hmm. Consequences, relationship problems, inability to be sexual with a real person, the brain changes. It alters pleasure and the reward process for your body. It reinforces other addictive behaviors. And it shrinks the gray matter in the brain.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You gotta be careful then.
Whoa. But
that's actually insane.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I mean, you hear about, you know, porn too, how porn is not real. Like it's not.
Correct.
It's not real. And so you hear like gray matter and you're like, okay, is it also changing things like empathy and how they, you know, perceive people in distress or things like that? I mean, there's so much to unpack there. And like, I've dated someone in the past that really enjoyed their porn time. And
do you think it was an addiction?
I don't know, because he was also a serial cheater. So it's hard to like, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe then it was like an overall sex addiction.
Oh.
And that's why he couldn't not have one partner. Like, I don't know. But I feel like for this, like, you do make a good point that he did race home to talk about it, and whether that's, you know, from embarrassment or guilt, whatever, he still came home. He didn't gaslight. He's trying to maybe work past it. So if you do feel that there's love there and you want this to work out with this person, then I would say therapy would be non-negotiable. Otherwise, I think it is time to walk.
All right. And I'm going to jump back in now.
Let's go.
They've been together for 5 years.
Started at 20.
So they started dating at 20.
Yeah.
They're young. And again, strong words, disgusting. I'm not sure I would go that far. I have a different view. I've seen a little bit of porn in my life. I think that he's acknowledging that he has a problem. So,
yeah.
Okay, well, you got to dive into that. Why did you start viewing so much porn? What do you like about it? What are you not getting out of your current relationship? Are you utilizing porn to go to sleep? Does that relax, you know, afterwards? Yeah. There's a lot of reasons why people watch porn. Are you curious about certain things?
Well, and it was like anniversary, birthday. Is it like a get amped up so I'm ready for later. Like,
or to last longer.
Yeah, I guess that so, I'd be curious now that
there's
you're
a lot of reasons
it.
And I don't, the way that I look at porn, it's fake. It's a fantasy. Men specifically are more visual. So they gravitate towards pornography versus women can read more, mm-hmm. right? So there's an edit and I'm going to throw this in there. Yes, we've had sex 2 days before I saw the actual history. Yes, we've had sex regularly when I feel good about my body. Yes, he does help around the house. I just appreciate more help around the house because then I can focus on my health and my family. He is my best friend and I have been ready to get engaged all year with this man. At the moment in time, I was so depressed and scared of how my future was going to be moving forward.
Yeah.
And with that, you didn't even notice until you saw the history. So is it really affecting your relationship to the point that you are going to leave him without working on this? That seems harsh to me.
This could be a jump.
Reel it back just a little bit and take in all factors here.
Yeah. Well, and I think like that felt very different from the write-in too. Like I fully saw my life with him. We bought this house and I'm waiting to get engaged. And so I would say like, therapy. I would give it a go. I mean, you can always get out of a house together. Like that's not a reason to stay or be scared to go. I mean, our little brother bought a house with a girlfriend and they broke up and they sold the house. Like things.
And they made money.
And they made money on it. So, you know, that will work out. But look at the person. Do you love him? Do you want to work with him? Do you, you know, envision a future? But don't get caught up in the potential. That's a hard thing where it's like, oh, I love him. It's, you know, if he would only clean and if he would only communicate better and if he would only do this, this, and this.
You need to accept him as he is.
You need to accept him as he is. And yeah, there's a little bit of encouraging to help clean. You know, if he went from his mom's house to your house, you know, there is a learning curve there. That's hard, you know? Yeah. Our little brother, you know, my mom and my grandma still do his laundry. So good luck, whoever, you know, I know we got some listeners that are, they chat to him. So just know there's a learning curve though there's with anyone curve. And you might,
there's girls
you
to
might,
be had.
Yeah. And you might put whites in the laundry with OxyClean only, and he's never done that. So, you know, everyone has to ebb and flow a little as they start sharing space together. Me and Justin, we ebbed and flowed. He left water bottles everywhere. It drove me crazy. You communicate and you get through the small things, but if it's too big to get past, you know, it might not be salvageable.
Here's another thing that I wonder, you know, maybe where the strong language came from, because this is something that I have personally felt in our relationship, because Matt hasn't had a porn addiction, but especially like more in our younger years when you're kind of trying to figure out what does that really mean? Like from my perspective then, because I wouldn't know when you would watch or whatever, but when I would find out probably in a similar way, right? Like it's just on the tabs or whatever. Yeah.
You open up the tab and it's playing over the speaker in the kitchen and you're like,
Then I started to wonder, am I not enough? Does he not find me attractive? Is our sex life not satisfying to him? Is my body, I don't think my body is as beautiful as all of these women that he's watching.
And she does have a comment.
And she had the comment. That's kind of what triggered that.
Yeah.
You know,
good point.
I remember feeling, especially when hadn't talked about it and I found it, I remember feeling very hurt and then very like, what's the word? Insecure.
Yeah.
In just our relationship in general then and in myself. So it kind of brings this whole bucket of feelings, which is why I think counseling can be really helpful.
Yeah. Well, and mentioning that too, like that is a really good point because like if I was with someone and I'm me, I'm 5'2", blonde, a little curvy. And then if what they were watching was the complete opposite, you know, 5'8", super tiny, brown hair, I'd be like, wait,
yeah,
do you even like me?
Right.
And I think, you know, having been cheated on a few times, like if you look at porn as cheating, then also kind of putting yourself in that shoe where it's like, am I not enough? Like, why would you sleep with this other person that is nothing like me? And what did you get from that? So if you view porn in the same light, it is, you know, it, right. it would be very hurtful. So I fully understand your feelings, and your feelings are so valid, but mm-hmm. understanding all of this, you know, full picture, this full life you have, I think you have a couple options. Therapy, couples counseling, or you break up. Like, I don't think you can move forward together without some assistance.
Yeah. What ended up, I think, helping us then move on and move past with healed hearts, I would say, I guess, was just that we talked about it a lot. We communicated, and I kept on telling him how I felt. And he kept on reassuring me, and we just mm-hmm. talked through those emotions, and mm-hmm. That was what helped us. Now, and again, addiction, I think, is a little bit like the next level, where I do think that you'd need some professional help for that.
But I think that would also help, because it's like you're just finding out, and you found out about it through tabs versus his own volition. So you're feeling lied to, you're feeling resentful, you're feeling, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever that may be. And so having those conversations, I think, could be a good first step, and then leading into counseling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep us posted. Keep them posted.
I am really curious.
I know.
Yeah. And I'm just curious. Can you see the amount of time spent on a specific page based on history?
I know for parental, there's like apps. If you install apps before, because you can have those parental controls for your kids, seeing how much they're on Facebook and things like that.
I feel like you can do anything.
You can. Yeah. But after the fact, I'm not sure if
spending
it can go.
It was called out like spending 2 hours on sites. That's a lot of time to be doing that sort of activity by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep us posted. On to the next one. I'm going to keep this one short. I'm just going to call this one out because it's just a shout out. Hey, Amy and Matt. First, I just want to say I love your podcast and the whole family. This podcast, Father Knows Something, and Two Hot Takes really got me through some hard times last year. I've been struggling with depression and anxiety for a little bit now. I'm a female, age 28, and a single mom. I don't have a story or anything for you guys, but I just wanted to say thank you for everything you guys do and for helping me through some very tough times. I don't know you personally, but I love all of you guys. Once again, thank you so much for starting the podcast and all the tips that we give.
Love you.
Thank you.
So happy you're here.
So for anybody that's listening, write in. We love sharing our own experiences, and hopefully we can help you avoid some pitfalls that have befallen us. Yeah. And we appreciate you.
Life, and we love the feedback in general, you know, good, bad. We have a lot of people who write, you know, very kindly. Everyone is so kind. The people that watch and listen and write in and take that time.
We got a really good fam.
Oh my gosh. It's like the Minnesota nice just like bubbles over to everywhere. And they're like, hey, just want to let you know you could do this a little bit differently. It might make it better. And I was like, yeah, you're right. We absolutely could. Thanks for the input.
I love it.
Keep it coming. And thank you so much for listening. And we're really glad that we could help you get through a really tough year.
Absolutely. Hang in there. And really, really glad you're here on all of our pods and sharing your time with us.
Ready?
Next one.
Here we go.
Okay. I'm buckled. Right.
I feel like you're going to have some relatability to this one.
Gosh.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey guys, fan from the beginning here, and I'm so glad you two decided to start a podcast. I am currently at a point in life where my husband, 26, and I, female, 25, will need to make a big decision. We live in the Seattle area. My husband is an electrical apprentice and is testing soon to become an O2 electrician, residential electrician.
Damn.
I work from home and have the freedom to move if needed. Currently, we live close to my siblings and my nieces and nephew, whom we are close to. Unfortunately, the rent prices and real estate prices here means that my husband and I won't be able to buy a home for at least 5 to 10 years. We live about 5 hours away from my grandmother. She's in Eastern Washington. And as of the last few years, my aunt, who is almost 70, has been caring for my grandmother. It is becoming clear that between the loss of my grandfather a year ago and handling the affairs of their estate, a home and cabin that my grandfather built with his hands, so it is very sentimental to keep this property in the family. My grandmother has not been receiving as much care as I believe she needs right now. She has a lot of appointments. She's on a fair amount of medications, and I can tell that my aunt is struggling to keep up a bit. My husband and I have been discussing moving closer to my grandmother, about 30 minutes away from her current town. The cost of living would allow us to purchase a home in the next 5-ish years, possibly much sooner depending on my husband finding a good company. We are unfortunately unable to afford to do so near Seattle due to the extreme real estate prices, but moving closer to my grandmother would also allow me to go to her appointments and be able to help with maintaining the home and cabin that my grandmother and aunt own now. I am very conflicted as I have lived here my whole life where I currently reside. I love being close to my siblings, and I think I could struggle being that far away from them. We lost our mother to cancer when I was 17, so being close to them has been great. I also think it would really breathe life into my grandmother as she's been depressed since my grandfather passed away. But I want my sister to be there too. I know I can't have my cake and eat it too with this, as my grandmother says she will never move out of her town. I've always wanted to move out into that region, as it's always held a very special place in my heart. I think my husband could find a good job and it would pay just as much as it would in Seattle, and the house prices are nearly half is what they would be where we're at now. Mm-hmm. I should also note, all of my family, including cousins, aunts, and uncles, live around the Seattle area or are residing out of the country. So another family member being able to relocate is out of the question. All I have to ask is it worth moving in order to establish my family and help my grandmother, but leave my siblings and family close to my hometown?
My knee-jerk reaction is I think it's a great opportunity. I think even if it's not forever, you could move there for the 5 to 10 years, buy a home, get that equity, and then probably be even a step ahead and be able to then maybe afford something more if you decide that you want to move back to Seattle. Especially, I'm kind of sentimental. I bought my grandma's house after she passed, and it's something that's really special to me. Something that I don't regret in the least, even though it's teeny tiny. And so I think that having that opportunity to spend more time with your grandma, you know, grandparents aren't around forever. I don't think that you're going to regret that.
I completely agree. That was my thought too. I'm like, you know, don't even maybe worry about buying a home right now. Like, obviously that is such a dream and hold on to that. But I'm like, hell, move in with grandma. She needs a little assistance. You guys, one, save on rent, can build your funds. He's going to be making really good money. He will get a good job. I mean, the trades are so needed right now. So it's like, this is almost a have your cake, eat it too. You get to help grandma. You're saving money. Your cost of living is less. You are only 5 hours. You realistically could do that drive every weekend if you wanted. It's 5 hours. Yeah, okay, it's a hike. But it's so easy to get home. It's a five-hour drive, not a five-hour flight. Like, it is, it's so doable. And I'm sure your sister and your niece, nephews, and everyone else is going to want to come see grandma and have summertime at the cabin. So it's going to take more effort to see those people without a doubt. But I think this could be a have your cake and eat it too. if you change your mindset a little bit about it.
I agree. I am so sorry for slaughtering these stories, by the way. If I was reading and I see mumbled, it's because of the computer, the Google Sheets keeps freezing. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I agree with you. 5 hours is, for some people, they'd be like, holy cow, that's a long time in a car. But I drive for work and
it goes quick.
It goes quick. Honestly, find a podcast, find something to do.
Find a good podcast. Hey, we're right here, baby.
And, you know, on your drive, you stack up Midwest Married, Two Hot Takes, Father Knows, and you're practically home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, there might even be a train. And like, if you, you know, are living near your grandma and you want to leave your car and go on the train and relax or work, you know, whatever you're doing, you could then take the train and, hey, your sister picks you up and you spend the weekend at their place. Like,
or
yeah,
meet your sister halfway, 2.5 hours, you know, find some cool town where you guys can hang out for a weekend or an afternoon or mm-hmm. whatnot. That becomes much more doable than a 5-hour trip.
Absolutely.
And as your sister, she's like then much more physically able to do that, make that trek, versus if you were to stay in Seattle, your grandma's not going to be able to make that trip. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is you need to sit down with your husband and have the conversation of where do we want to really plant our roots and start building our life together. Is that away from the siblings with grandma? Can we then move back someday? What does this look like for us?
Yeah, there's a lot of context.
Is he willing to do that for you, for the family, you know, whatever that may be?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, this is a hard reality, like something that I've really struggled with being far from home. Like, you recognize, like, your grandma's not going to live forever. Like, that is, it's so sad. Like, I don't like thinking about it. So for me, it's like, I try to go home as much as I can to see my grandma and spend time with the people that are aging. And if you look at it as like, hey, this is a 5-year stop for us to really pool our funds and save money and help grandma and, you know, do these things, like, it doesn't have to be this permanent big investment in plant roots. Like, that's kind of where you have the conversation and say, hey, do you want to end up back near Seattle? Yes, no, you don't care. Okay, well, if it's yes, what about helping grandma for a couple of years? We really save. And then hopefully we have that much more money because our cost of living was less and we can come back to Seattle. Like, just because you leave doesn't mean you can't go back.
Right.
It is so easy to go home. Like, I always say that. I'm like, if you're having a thought about moving, do it. We have a cousin who moved to Utah because her husband wanted to go to school out there. Guess what? They were there a year. They're back in Minnesota. They moved back. Like, it didn't work out. They didn't love it. It wasn't what they thought. And they moved back.
But they went and they tried
it. They tried it. So, no regrets.
Right.
No regrets. No regrets. I mean, your grandma could, I don't wish this, but like, your grandma could be gone in a year. And would you have regrets then for not going out, helping, spending time with her? And someone mentioned like this could revitalize grandma too. Like,
right?
It could really bring her back and put some youth in her bones. And like, that could be so amazing. So I say, give it a go. Give it a shot.
Do it. Let us know if you do. Let us know what you decide.
I know.
The biggest takeaway that this writer had was the advice portion on how to navigate. But how can she stay close to the siblings and break the news to them if they move away?
I don't remember what I did. I think I was just like, bye. It's hard because like even me and my family, we were really close. But at the end of the day, like everyone needs to do what's best for themselves. And this isn't a forever. You're not moving to Europe. You're moving 5 hours down the road. And so it's like, well, we're going to make a lot of effort. We're going to still see each other at least once a month, if not more. Weekly FaceTime chats, like let's prepare a dinner together once a week and we'll each get the same ingredients and cook over FaceTime. Like there's so many ways you can stay connected and it just takes effort on both parties. So if you communicate that well. I mean, you lived in Florida. You were far from your family for years while you went to school. So
I think technology too has come, is so helpful in situations like this. We have family Snapchats and we send the siblings, like we have one for your siblings and we have one for my siblings, and we send like pictures of the kids just doing random things and
house building updates. I love those.
Yeah, just like little things here and there that don't have to be anything big or extravagant. You don't have to devote like an hour of your time to a phone call or whatever. It's just simple little snippets that keeps you feeling connected to your people. Like you could go all day every day if you wanted to, and it's easy to like
those little things. And those are really good too. Those little things that like, they're non-committal and they don't take a lot of effort, but still like have a big impact where it's like, oh, I am seeing their house go up and I'm still in the loop. Like
I know what's going on with them.
It makes you feel so good. So more ideas like that. If anyone else has any ideas about like non-committal, easy things, I love that. Also, this is like kind of a plug, but the skylight frames or like any smart frames that like, you can each have your own like skylight frame and instantly send photos to that like then rotate on your home, like counter, on a wall. Like I love stuff like that. Like those are really cool to like keep connected to.
Yeah.
I want a skylight frame or a hearth calendar, the skylight calendar. So bad. They're digital, right? But in order to put photos on it, you need a subscription. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to
have the skylight one too.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, we have them as a sponsor on Father Knows. We just have the frame though, not the calendar.
Okay, yeah, Skylight has a.
I'm gonna have to check out the calendar.
Calendar.
Skylight, why didn't you send me the calendar?
Here you go. Now you know.
Crazy. Okay, I'm gonna have to look into that.
Yeah,
the subscription stuff is hard. I don't think you need a subscription for the frame, but
I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, you'll have to fact check me.
Cool. I like that.
But keep us posted. I just wrote myself in every time. I'm like, keep me posted. I want to know.
Yeah.
We'll let you know.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
thanks,
and I've had no experience of moving away. So I just stayed in my little bubble.
I think it's good. I mean, time flies too. Like I've been out here now. Like someone asked the other day, like, when did you move to LA? And I'm like, well, the first time 2015. And then I moved back to Minnesota for a year. And then I moved back to LA. So moving, it sucks packing for sure. But just because you move doesn't mean you're stuck in one place. Like it can be a year. Help grandma for a year and then move back. Like, I mean, saving money, like just move in with grandma, move into the cabin. I don't know. Like save some money.
Move into the cabin.
I would move into the cabin. I was thinking that. I'm like, I don't know.
Sounds cool.
I don't know if it's really rustic with a wood stove and maybe that's not your vibe, but like I would really take advantage of like, hey grandma, we're going to come live with you for a year. Non-committal. A year goes by so fast. And then if you hate it, you move back. But it would be really nice. Really nice.
Yeah.
I think give it a go. Okay.
There we go. All right. On to the next one.
Let's do it.
Another listener write in.
Let's go.
I would really appreciate some help with my wedding. There's a lot to unpack here, so bear with me.
Same.
Female, same. 27. For starters, I have a blended family as my parents divorced when I was 8. My dad cheated on my mom with her very good friend who was her maid of honor. Now that I'm getting married to my fiance, female, 27, there's a lot of tension going on between the families. Since this wedding will be a queer interracial wedding, we want it to be less traditional as possible. I wanted my sisters to walk me down the aisle as both of us would like to be walked down. As my mother was upset with this, I suggested a handoff situation with my dad and stepdad. This created more tension than ever. And now my dad won't talk to me, claiming that my stepdad isn't my real dad and doesn't need to do that or partake. My stepdad also suggested a father-daughter dance. I then asked my dad and said I would like to dance with him as well. That seemed to upset him once again, and now he is being distant all over again. I have reached out to friends and family regarding this, and they tell me they all need to get their shit together before the wedding and meet. Since my dad lives in another province, I have suggested we all have a phone call. My mom surprisingly agreed, but my dad didn't. I feel like I'm at a loss here. And at this point, if he's going to make this much of a fuss, I want to just say, forget it. Don't come to the wedding.
Yeah.
Any advice and help would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. And apologies that this was really long.
Not long. I apologize. This is very important. And it's a lot of pressure to be under. I have had this same conversation, although not recently. And I'm very curious to see how it's going to go round two. But my last serious boyfriend, who I obviously, you date someone, you kind of plan on marrying that person after a certain amount of time. But I went out to dinner with my bio dad and I took him out for his birthday. So he had a few drinks. And on the way back, he goes, oh, you and so-and-so are getting pretty serious. And I'm like, yeah. And he was like, who's going to walk you down the aisle? And I was like, well, I would like for, you know, you and Jerry both to. And I got the response of, oh, well, don't even bother inviting me then. So I get exactly where you're at.
It's so hurtful.
It's just so much stress and pressure that like is not fair when it's meant to be a day about you. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be so fun and celebrating you and your love and your partnership and this, you know, you as a couple. And it's like, why are you putting this on me? Because you are deliberately obstinate, selfish, and being an asshole. Why am I feeling the pain of your selfish, callous assholeness? Whatever. Like, he made the choice to have an affair. He's the one that had an affair with your mom's maid of honor. And yet,
best friend, yeah.
And yet he thinks he's gonna, like, have his cake and eat it too. Like, the reality is, he didn't keep his family together. And probably for the better, right? It sounds like you got an amazing stepdad out of it. Everyone's probably happier living their lives the way they did. But at the same time, like, I'm not making your life difficult, dude. You got your wife. You did your choice. Why is it affecting me? And so I think, you know, with your choice and what you want, it's got to be about you and what is going to make you happy. And if he's unwilling to participate and keeps deliberately misunderstanding you and your intentions, bye. It's not worth it. Like, I'm getting to the point, I have to have the conversation soon because wedding's this September. But like, in my ideal world, my bio dad's probably not, I'm not even going to ask him to walk me down. It's going to be my mom and Jerry, like my dad, who I consider my dad. So it's like, do what you want and let the chips fall. Because if he's being this difficult to deal with before a wedding even happens, how is he going to impact your day? How are you going to feel being like held hostage by someone? Ah, my way, what I want. It's blah. Like, that's not fun. That's not what you should be dealing with on your wedding day. So you have a choice, Dad. I'm having stepdad and mom walk me down the aisle. And you're invited. I'd love to have you there, but this is what I want. So if you can respect that, I would love for you to come. If not, I understand. Like, don't open yourself up to loose cannons, because it's not about that. Your day shouldn't come with all that stress. But I mean, you guys, you didn't get off scot-free either. You had your own, you know, things when you were planning.
You have a lot of strong feelings on that.
Cheers, by the way. The whole time I was like, there's nothing to add. I have nothing more to say. You're saying everything exactly beautifully. And
weddings are hard though.
Weddings are so hard.
They're hard.
Sometimes the other thing I was thinking of is, if you allow this concession, or if you're like, okay, well, I'll do that. Well, then what's next? What's the next demand? Where does it stop?
It doesn't.
So you got to do what's best for you in your heart, how you want things. It's your day. It's not anybody else's day.
Mm-hmm. We didn't, at our wedding, we didn't have any real big drama.
Just during the speech.
My bio dad had a few beverages and did threaten to beat up Father Knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jerry gave a speech for Matt and Amy. And I think, I don't know if it's an ego thing. Like, I'm trying to think of what my dad's issue is. And maybe yours is the same, where it's like, well, I'm the dad, and what are people going to think if I'm not the one walking her down? Like, I don't know if it's an ego thing for mine. Mm-hmm. I think it is.
Yep.
An insecurity, ego, I don't know. But I'm like, you've got, like, my little sister and him have a pretty good relationship. So I'm like, you got another one to walk down. Like, you're good, dude. You're like, you know?
Great.
I don't know. But again, it's not about them.
No, I agree. And that's the biggest thing, right? It's your day and it's your wedding. You can have anything you want. It's your day. Whoever you want at the wedding, whoever you don't want at the wedding. We limited how many guests that my mom got, how many guests Amy's mom got to invite. And
yeah,
that was another like little bump in the road because we had a limit of 200 people and that was it.
And it's even gracious. You gave parents an ability to have like a little list. Like people don't even do that and you don't have to like that. It's really what you guys want to do. Like weddings are so DIY and do it yourself. And so I love hearing you're like, it's, you know, LGBTQ plus friendly and interracial and like whatever. It's like, make it as non-traditional as you want. Like me and Justin right now, I think we're doing food trucks. And are people going to talk and say, oh, they should have had a buffet or a plated dinner? For sure. Do I give a fuck? Nope. It's my day.
It's your day.
I want a corn dog and a funnel cake and tacos.
Matt's so excited.
And a pizza food truck.
Do you know that my friend Joe Polchek
has a corn dog truck?
He got a hot dog truck, a hot dog.
Gourmet hot dogs. Can he do a corn dog?
I bet he can do a corn dog.
And he's hired. One less vendor I need to find. Here we go.
Boom. Perfect.
Let's go.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good menu, I hear.
I'm down. So. I'm so down.
Yeah.
This one thing off my plate for wedding planning that I haven't started yet.
Boom.
Yeah. One thing we got heat for was we didn't do the, you know, the trinkets, like the wedding guest
people
trinkets.
Throw those away. Don't get people anything.
Wedding favors.
The wedding favors, yes.
The only thing I've really liked getting from someone's wedding is like a custom matchbook because I collect matchbooks. But like other people would be like, oh, a matchbook? Ew. I don't know. Like bottle openers, I think people do a lot. And like half the bottle openers at the wedding I went to last were left on the table. Yeah.
And if it's something special to you, great. But we just didn't have anything that was like really felt like it was a calling to us.
No.
So that person who was really upset about it, my response was, well, if that's something important to you, you can take care of that. You can do that. I don't like if you want to provide that and put that effort in and do that. Awesome. Go ahead and do it. Like I give you permission to go ahead and do that.
I like that.
Yeah. Cause I didn't care if there was like, if we get,
no,
for
it's
sure.
Like, but it's another
it wasn't
expense.
Something that was important to me.
Yeah. I like that.
Was it my mom?
Probably. But she's
I was trying not to call her out.
But oh my gosh, she's like one of those people that like even like today at like we went to breakfast and Taylor, our little brother, like ordered this big bowl of oatmeal and like a couple other people wanted bites of oatmeal. And Taylor was done and there was half of oatmeal left. And she goes, I'm gonna order another oatmeal. And I'm like, that's a $20 oatmeal. I'm like, I don't think you just take a couple bites of Taylor's. And so she like runs back and cancels it. But I'm like, she just likes she likes to shop.
Yeah.
She likes to shop.
So, but I think that's a good tip.
What favor was she trying to get?
I don't even know. Just the fact that there was one. And then maybe like a candy bar, I think was another thing. Like a whole like a dessert bar. Yeah, but like a...
Just I got more. A really good...
And I was just like, I just can't because there was just so much like... I'm not a wedding planner personality.
Mm-hmm.
It was... Our wedding was so beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, you guys
it was
did
great
it good.
To look back on the day.
Mm-hmm. I'm scared. I got to rein her in.
Heaven forbid anything were to ever happen where you die or we get divorced or whatever, which it's not going to happen. But I for sure would never do another wedding for myself.
Never.
I'm like, nope. I am never doing that again. Happiest day of my life, but never, I'm going to elope or something.
I agree.
You guys?
Much less stressful.
You didn't have any issues with dances, did you? Like, because I'm thinking about this person too, where it's like, why can't each dad have a dance? And like, why is that an issue? And if it's an issue for your dad, like,
who gets
fun,
the first
you don't get
one?
Your dance.
Who gets the first one?
That's it shouldn't matter. Why aren't these people
it's
being
an
adults?
Ego. It's an ego thing.
and stopping crazy. Children.
And that's where you need to, your dad, maybe you've never told your dad that. I'm definitely going to have a conversation with mine if he gives me anything, because it's like, this isn't about you. Why are you acting so immature? Mm-hmm. Who's this about? Me. Take it or leave it. That's it. That's the bottom line. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. There you go. It's your day. Do what you want.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. This is going to be really fun.
And tell your dad to grow up, and if he wants to be there, he can.
Yeah.
It's your rules.
Also, my number one thing from weddings that I've loved is the couple dance. And you bring all the couples to the floor, couples, because some weddings they've done married, bring all the married couples to the floor, and then people feel a little excluded. Yeah. So you have to do all the couples out there. And then slowly but surely it gets you weed people out, because you're like, who's been together more than 1 year? And then if you've been, under, you leave, or who's been together for more than 5 years? And by the time it gets done, there's one old couple out there dancing that's been together for 50 years. My number one wedding, you must do. Must do. That's it.
I love it.
Boom.
Otherwise, do what you want.
Yeah. Another thing, I'm sorry.
I love weddings.
I'm just thinking about it. And it's stressful when you have the one person who's causing the scene. I didn't even know about your dad threatening Jerry at the wedding until people told us afterwards. The beautiful thing about weddings is that because you are inviting your loved ones, are going to have your back and help support you through even that day. Mm-hmm. There's going to be things that happen probably that you're not going to find out about until after, because other people who love you are going to diffuse the situation, aka Chuck, who took care of that particular situation.
Yeah.
So enlist people to have your back and support you as well if you need to. If you need somebody else, a sister or somebody, to have your back and have a conversation with your dad and be like, hey, dude, You gotta give some concessions here.
Yeah. I think having one or two people in the know of any potential is so key. And if you don't feel like you have anyone in your life that can do that, a day of coordinator, I think, is a good thing to consider. They run around putting out the fires.
I kind of think regardless, that would just take the stress off.
It's a non-negotiable for me. I'm like, I need it. I need it.
I didn't have one, but I needed one.
I don't want to deal with any stress. I'm like, just keep the champagne rolling. We're going to,
have a good time.
Yeah.
Okay. That was my last thought.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
You want me to read one?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm done.
Because you found this one.
All right. It's yours. Found it. It's your take.
It's my time to shine, baby. Here we go. Ending with little old me reading a Reddit story. Are you guys ready? I'm hijacking the show again.
People.
You're invited. You're not hijacking.
Yeah. People just, they're mean.
I'm like, damn, I'm just trying to get the people
good
over here for them. But here we go. This is coming from Am I the Asshole? It is 4 days old.
Okay.
Titled, Am I the Asshole for Leaving in the Middle of Thanksgiving Dinner Because of a Pumpkin Pie? My 32 female, mother, 60 female, hosts Thanksgiving dinner at her house every year. It's a small event with my parents, me, my brother's family, and my sister-in-law's family attending. We avoid family quarrels by implementing a strict no politics rule and trying our best to be civil. I should probably mention that we are not a particularly close-knit family. We rarely see each other beyond these events since my brother lives in South Africa and I travel a lot due to my work. Thanksgiving is important to my mom since it's one of the rare times we're all together. Anyways, the main problem I have with my mother is her constant critique of me. She has a habit of making passive-aggressive comments about my life choices, my career, to my lack of children, to the way I dress. I've addressed this with her multiple times, but she doesn't really seem aware of it. My father claims it is just her way of fussing and expressing that she cares. It does hurt, though, because my brother is never criticized in the same manner. I cannot entirely fault her for her criticism, since I did majorly mess up my life a few months ago, depression, and it has affected her opinion of me negatively. It does not excuse the way I acted, but I just wanted to explain why I left. By the time we finished dinner, I was a bit prickly because of some of her commentary. I made a cake for dessert. I was explicitly put in charge of it, and no one specified what exactly I should make, so I opted for maple cheesecake. I did my best, and I think it looked okay. Mom normally makes pumpkin pie, but I really hate pumpkins. They make me gag. So I thought perhaps we could try something new. As I was bringing out the cheesecake, my mom eyed it somewhat warily and announced that she'd decided to make the usual pie as well. This caught me off guard. I asked why she didn't tell me beforehand, and she said something like, quote, "Well, we figured you'd do your own thing, so I thought it was best to have a backup." She went on to cut the pie and serve it to everyone, instructing me to leave the cheesecake in the kitchen. When someone asked to try my dessert, she said, quote, "Let's not mix too many flavors at once," which just felt passive aggressive. I know it's immature for an adult to get this upset over a triviality, but I just politely refused as she was handing me a slice of pie, retrieved my coat, and left. People...
good.
Very good. People were calling after me, I think, but by the point... people were calling after me, I think, but by that point I was crying for some reason, and it would have been too humiliating to have an emotional outburst in front of everyone for no real reason. My mom just texted me saying that it was incredibly rude and immature of me to leave like that, especially on Thanksgiving. My brother also sent me a message saying I'm acting irrationally. I feel horrible for leaving so abruptly, especially because my parents are getting older and we are already not close. Something about my mother seems to turn me into an erotic teenager and I hate it. So, am I the asshole?
I know who this woman is. This woman is the woman you asked to use her phone at Disneyland and she shut you down.
Yeah, literally. She's a woman. Fucking bitch.
Oh, that's strong language, but she's very rude.
That's how I feel about that woman.
Well, that's what it sounds like. Nitpicking, you know, and criticizing her choices, not being supportive, especially like nobody wants to go. If people don't want to go to your holidays, it's because you're not being a supportive, kind, loving person. Why would you want to go spend, regardless of if they're family or not, why would you want to go somewhere that just tears you down and criticizes the whole time?
I don't get this mental fuckery, like, and I don't know what this is where it's like, oh, well, make a dessert, bring a dessert, you got it. And then she's got a backup and then doesn't even let anyone try the dessert that OP made. Is this an ego thing? Is this a self-centered thing? You're the host. You want to be recognized. You want the attention. Maybe there's some narcissistic traits there. I'm getting golden child scapegoat energy with the fact that the brother doesn't get criticized and the brother's flying in, being the flying monkey, standing up for mom. You're acting irrationally. You're being crazy. Of course you would think that. You're the golden child that never gets critiqued, criticized. Like, shut the fuck up. Mom doesn't need your support. I'm the one that got hurt.
Right?
Why are you bitching at me? Shut up. I'm looking at maple cheesecake recipes, and they look incredible.
Incredible.
I bet it.
Probably better than the pumpkin pie.
They probably pair very nicely together, honestly.
It is such a Thanksgiving flavor. I heard maple cheesecake, and I'm like,
ooh.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Good choice.
Perfect. Pumpkin pie. Tired. Did I buy one this year? 100%. Costco, $5.99. Best pumpkin pie there is. But would I prefer a maple cheesecake? 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
The mom is a bitch, and she's purposefully, to me, acting out towards OP. And why? What's the bad blood there? It seems intentional to me.
It definitely is. And that's why I think this is how old is OP? 32. This is a 32-year-old battle between them. And this is something that I would love people to chime in on that I've kind of been wondering myself lately. If you have a parent that is, you know, maybe a narcissist or maybe just has some narcissistic traits, because everyone can have a few, you know, whatever, do they have a harder time raising daughters than sons? And I would like to know that, if you relate to it or if you've seen it. Because in my head, I think if there is a mom who is more narcissistic, I would envision them fighting with a daughter more than a son. And whether it's because they look at them as competition, because they're more difficult to control, I don't know. But I would be very curious to hear people's responses. And that's what it's giving to me. It's giving unhinged competition.
Mm-hmm. Again, power dynamic.
It's too. Something. And I think this comment here is really sad. I did majorly mess up my life a few months ago, parentheses, depression. That's something you're dealing with. And for your mom to hold it against you and have it affect her opinion of you negatively, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Love from a parent should be unconditional. And mm-hmm. everyone goes through shit. Depression is a big battle. Something you should be getting support from your family, especially your mom.
Right.
So to like have that negatively impact your relationship, like that's really, I mean, that to me really, I didn't love that.
Nailed it.
Yeah. I'm glad you walked out.
Yeah.
I think you need
to. You did
to.
The right thing.
100%.
You needed to make a statement of, hey, you're not going to treat me like this. And you didn't make a scene. You know, you just were like, nope, not going to deal with it. So, I think that was a good move.
I honestly can't believe that the mom didn't bring out, like, why wouldn't you just bring both of them out? It just seems so bizarre to me.
Any normal, loving family would. Here, cut it all, and here's, have your choice, guys. It's not a competition.
Both. Have both.
Have both.
They pair well.
I mean,
it's the holidays. Yeah. Get fat. Be happy.
I mean, have little slices of each. Like, that's what you do.
Or big slices.
I'd go big.
I'm just saying.
It's Thanksgiving.
I mean, it's so disheartening. There is a comment that OP responds to. Someone goes, I know this is painful to accept, but it doesn't found. So someone goes, I know this is painful to accept. But it doesn't sound like your family likes you.
Ooh.
I love the internet.
I mean.
True.
Ugh. But it
doesn't.
This whole experience, I mean, it's again, scapegoat, black sheep, golden child, scapegoat, like whatever. Like
there's something about a chosen family.
I was just going to say, maybe skip the biological family and find your chosen family. Have Thanksgiving and holidays time. With them.
And enjoy the holidays then.
Yeah. So OP responds, I wish they could pretend to, at least during the holidays. Mm. Only comment we have from OP, but I think it's very telling because clearly to respond to that, it struck a chord. And to have that response, I wish they could pretend to, it feels like OP almost knows and recognizes. And that...
It's heartbreaking.
Shitty. We're going to have to put, maybe we should do our big, next year, big THT, FKS, Midwest Married, MWM, Thanksgiving extravaganza. We rent out like a little banquet hall and just have a Thanksgiving dinner.
There you go. Friendsgiving.
Friendsgiving. Chosen family.
Love it.
Top comment. Not the asshole. If your mother's way of fussing and expressing that she cares looks, sounds, and feels like she's being a deliberately nasty person, then I'm guessing she is really just being a deliberately nasty yes. person. Walks like a duck and all that. I'd tell your father this. Your mother premeditated the whole dessert thing right down to the kick in the teeth of excluding the dessert you made from the table. She got off on being cruel in this petty way for whatever warped reason. This kind of thing is no accident and not care in any way. Golden boy brother can't see it because he is never the target. Dad is trying to see it through the best possible lens. Your mother won't admit to herself what she's really doing, even as she deliberately does it. Their blindness doesn't mean she isn't doing it. Insane. Yeah. And someone goes, next comment down, not just excluding it from the dinner table, but actively telling someone trying to eat the damn cheesecake that they can't. OP, the only reason you don't know with absolute certainty that your mother is the asshole here is because you are used to her abuse.
Oh.
It wouldn't be surprised if your depression were directly tied to the way she dismisses you and your father brother do nothing about it. Are you able to go to therapy? Therapy is literally a person to talk to who can give you an outside perspective and whose only interest is helping you decide how you want to act, protect yourself, etc.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry your family failed you here. A lot of people also do recommend going to the subreddit r/raised by narcissists.
Okay.
So.
Never been there.
Oh, there's an episode for you guys.
Check it out.
There you go. Put it on the list. It is quite the subreddit.
Perfect.
I think I'm going we'll to I'm gonna go back and dabble. Yeah. I haven't been there in a while. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for having us, hosting us out here in California.
Thanks at for the having studio. Me on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on. Absolutely. This is fun.
It's been a great week.
Letting me read one even.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for listening.
Yes. Thank
Please be
you.
Sure to follow us on YouTube, subscribe on Instagram, subscribe everywhere, all the hearts, all the pluses.
5 stars.
Do the thing.
5 stars.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Have Thanks, a good night.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.